Hey, Billy, why don't we tell them what we're about, man?
So we're here to welcome you to the Madhouse Chronicles. It's a talk show with myself, Billy Morrison.
And me, Ozzy Osbourne.
This man, Prince of Darkness. And we watch and react to the maddest internet clips. What do we discuss, Ozzy?
Drugs, rock and roll, aliens, all that kind of shit.
Drugs, rock and roll, aliens, and all that kinds of shit. Come and join Ozzy and myself. Visit osbournemediahouse.com to get special access to...
Come on!
What do you say? Do you think it's the wildest show on the internet?
Oh.
Welcome to Burning in Hell.
What's up, guys? I'm Hannah Berner, and we're with Hysterical...
Oh, we're live?
Yeah, we're live.
Okay, great.
We're with Hysterical lesbian comedian who destroys straight men, horse girls, and... hecklers.
And that's all I do.
That's all she does.
I'm only a lesbian comedian, and those are the only three topics that I do. Otherwise, I'm not a person.
By the way, this is my very great friend, Ashley, who I've known for years, who like helped me get into stand-up comedy, like literally explained to me what a joke is once at a coffee shop. And I was like, wow, this girl's amazing. I'm indebted to her for life.
No. But
I checked your TikTok, though, and I'm like, what's she talking about lately? And I was like, noted. Destroying horse girls and straight men. I'm into it.
Yeah. I mean, it works on TikTok very well to have, like, you know, a thing that you do. But yeah, come to a show. I talk about other things.
Are you saying that you are more nuanced than just the lesbian comic who destroys people?
I would say that, yes.
Wow.
But if it was just that, I'd be into it. Yeah. If you're one of Hannah's listeners and you're just tired of men, which I imagine they all are.
Yes.
You can go to my TikTok and watch me just absolutely rip them a second, asshole.
I feel like our listeners are way more similar than different.
Yeah, I agree.
I think my listeners...
I think people are more similar than different.
Wow.
Can you imagine?
Look at us just solving the world's problems. One podcast at a time. I was laughing because the first thing we talked about when I interviewed you 2 years ago was discussing pubic hair regimens, which is...
literally the first thing I said as soon as I sat down.
The first thing you said, quarantining with your girlfriend, which we're not quarantining or...
No, I'm
girlfriending.
Single. Yeah.
Which we're excited about. changing careers from an engineer to comedian and the perks of rock bottom. But your life has changed a lot in these last two years.
The past 2 years have been super transformative. I mean, a lot of it thanks to like you and a lot of the other people who helped me with podcasting. A lot of it, the Chinese government, TikTok. Thank you so much. Thank you, Chinese government, for all you've done.
But I would argue, have you really changed that much? Or have you just kind of found platforms that enable people to see you more?
You know, because before I was just like, I'm a stand-up comic and I was trying to get really good at stand-up comedy. And like, I was. And no one cared. Like, no one cares until you have the platform. And it needs that much work. I know this is like so boring to everybody at home. But like, you need to work on your social media presence as much as your comedy. Unfortunately, that is what you have to do. Mm-hmm. And when the pandemic happened, I had nothing to do. So I was like, okay, well, I might as well treat TikTok and Instagram and my podcast as formally as I treat my stand-up comedy. And that's really all it needed.
I remember sitting with you at coffee and you basically being like, I don't know what else I need to do, because you're like, I feel so good about my stand-up, but nothing is catching. Like, you're like, I have no momentum in my career.
Yeah.
And I remember just thinking like, well, when's it going to happen?
Yeah, I hope it happens, because she sounds like she's going to kill herself. I'm
like, it's getting pretty dark and I'm a little worried.
I was losing it. I don't know if I was in the darkest place when we kind of became friends, but shortly before, I would say 6 months before that, I was in like a very dark place. And I was like, I have to change everything.
Well, you had a girlfriend at the time, but also, do you feel like being single allowed you to kind of immerse yourself in the work more?
Yeah, a little bit. Although I did, that relationship was so healthy. That was like another big life change, as I got into a healthy relationship.
You got some confidence, I feel like.
Right now?
Like from the relationship to now.
Yeah, I think so.
You have like swag coming off you right now.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow, I thought I looked like shit. This is a dirty shirt.
No,
I went through my laundry.
No, you look like shit, but the energy coming off you is really swag.
No, I can actually smell you. You smell like shit. Is that horse manure? You really are doing that horse girl stuff.
I feel like you went from like lesbian comic no one knows, to lesbian comic on the road that everyone wants to fuck.
No comment.
Are you being coy now?
Yeah, it's. I don't usually do anything though. Usually I don't. I get inquiries.
Okay,
and then I kindly say thank you for your inquiry. I try not to do it.
I have a lot of male comics who we've met a lot of below average male comics who talk about on the road, like all tons of girls they hook up with, not Ian Lara or any guys on my pod. They're great.
Was Ian Lara just on?
Ian Lara had some amazing hookup stories, but he's actually a hilarious comic.
He's great.
And so to hear a lesbian's perspective of what the road is like, because I know from a straight girl, the road is different from a straight man. But
For sure. I think it's that women are more inclined to sleep with someone because they're funny than men are. I think to men, it's like challenging to have a woman who is confident and funny and sort of like the alpha in the room, like commanding the room. You know?
Yeah, you can control the energy of the room with your jokes, and that's like intimidating for a guy.
You
could like change the
mood.
But
for a guy, you know, like Dez, like that's not intimidating, and that's great.
Yeah.
And that's like such a green flag, I think, in a man, even as a friend. Like the guys that I'm friends with, I don't think they have a problem with funny women.
No, and that's super important because I'll hang out with guys and the whole time they're just talking about how I make jokes and how I'm funny in a way that like they can't get it out of their head. Where like I feel like girls don't do that when they're like with a male comic.
No,
they're not
they're like,
oh, so what's a joke? It's crazy you do jokes. They're not like that. They're just like, okay, that was hot. Fuck me.
Yeah, they're like, tee-hee. Yeah, it's nice. I will say it's very flattering I got on stage in Denver. This is wild. I hope no one thinks of this as arrogant. This is really just like...
No, I'm forcing her to give me stories.
Okay.
She's the most humble bitch in the world.
That's so funny. I think I have like an arrogant persona.
Yeah, but you are
off stage, I'm like very much
not
like I'm a piece of
shit. Not that you're humble, you're more like practical, I feel like.
Yeah, yeah.
Like you're very factual with stuff.
Yeah, I'm definitely like...
You're definitely not boasting or like making like... big stories of how great you are.
And if I am, it's like a bit. Like I'm doing a bit.
No, you're like, I got 100 laughs, you know, per minute. And that's just what I got.
So Hannah's right. I have a spreadsheet that I keep track of all my jokes.
I'm like,
data.
Did you kill it? And she's like, I'll tell you exactly how I did.
Let me grab my calculator on my spreadsheet. I have my data. Let me get my data. This weekend I walked on stage in Denver. I did the Denver Comedy Works. Have you done it?
I just did a couple weeks ago. Best club in the world.
Best club in the world.
Best club in the world.
Unreal. Did you stay in the condo?
Yes.
Oh my God. I walked in that condo and I was like, if I don't fucking hear, I'm going to kill myself. It's going to ruin my life. Trigger warning. I say kill myself all the time.
You know what? I like that because at least put a warning.
People sometimes get upset about it.
Yeah.
I used to want to die if that makes it you feel better.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I'm recovered now so I can make
it's from
jokes.
Personal experience.
Yeah.
The condo, I actually arrived at 8 a.m. and to do two shows on a Sunday night.
Oh.
Jared Fried was still in the condo.
That's so funny.
It's so like, because I had got there earlier and they didn't.
Did you guys know?
No, but they couldn't get me into the condo.
They're great. They didn't fuck up. They're wonderful. They're perfect.
It wasn't their fault. They added an earlier show for me, so I had to fly in earlier, but they didn't factor that in. And I guess we didn't communicate it.
Yeah.
So I'm exhausted after waking up at 3 a.m. in Austin to get there.
And Jared's in like a robe.
And no, but they can't even find the key because Jared has it.
Right.
So I'm sitting there for like an hour. Finally, we realize that he's there. We basically break in and I just go in the other bedroom and fall asleep. He doesn't even know I'm there.
Yeah, yeah.
And my friend's like, why don't you just text him? And I'm like, because that would be too easy. I want it to be chaotic. Woke up to him like yelling in his podcast and then was like, by the way, I'm here. And it was hilarious. But yes, it's beautiful.
It's gorgeous.
Did you?
No. I'm like such a old lady these days. I'm very picky since the healthy relationship. But I got on stage at one of the shows. I came on stage and this girl started weeping as soon as I got on stage. I have it on film. I'm going to put it on my YouTube.
You're
stuff like
Justin
that.
Bieber.
That's exactly what I said. And then I was like, one less lonely girl. And I brought her on stage and I kissed her.
No
that's not what happened.
That'd be amazing.
I was like, why are you crying? And she was like, oh, I just she said this, her friend, she was weeping. She couldn't even speak. Her friend goes, she just found out she's gay. And I was like, at the doctor? Like, why did you phrase it like that? But she was going through her coming out process and she was just so emotional. I think being surrounded by all these queer people and then like having this person that embodies, I think, I'm not taking credit for this, but I think why queer women are so drawn to my work is because I am so out.
Yes.
And I'm not apologetic about it at all. I don't care if people think my set is too gay. I don't care. If it's funny, it's funny. Like, straight people love it. Like, who gives a shit what I'm talking about? So I think that people are like, oh my God, I can live that way.
Well, it's refreshing to see someone who is comfortable in their skin.
Yeah.
And you have other anxieties that we love about you and things that you worry about. But I feel like in terms of your sexuality and knowing what you love to do, it's really like
which
fun
is women
to be around. I was going to say math and jokes, but yes, women do. But I also, I'm trying to be cool right now, but like, I'm the same as you. I was never good at like the hookup thing. I'm very like sensitive to,
yes.
And I do believe like when you have too many of other people's energies, like all over you, it's a lot.
Well, I've also gotten scared because so much has changed in the past 2 years. Like, it used to be kind of funny that girls wanted to hook up with me after shows, but now I've like definitely gotten into situations where I'm like, oh, you make me feel not emotionally safe.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Well, also, they have an idea of who you are.
Yeah, yeah.
And TikTok, how would you describe your audience that you've cultivated?
A lot of them are young. You know, a lot of them are like 20 to 25, and they're newly out, and they've never seen stand-up comedy in their entire life.
Oh, wow.
They don't listen to podcasts.
Yeah.
So this is like their first experience with comedy. It's the first time they've wanted to go see stand-up comedy. So it's actually a challenging audience in a way because mm-hmm. they're so broken from the pandemic, you know, because
they forget how to act.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So the lights will go down at a show and maybe one person starts to clap and the rest are like, why are you doing that? And it's like, please do that. Please do all the things that you're supposed to do in public.
It's true. Every now and then when someone like heckle or be weird, I'd be like, look, we haven't been outside a lot. You do you. Let's all just enjoy just being around other people.
Right, right.
But I want to ask you, from the dark place that you were to where you are now, what would you tell that Ashley?
Oh, my gosh.
I love that laughter was the first thing you did.
Well, I know that Ashley would be like, you're not as far along as I want you to be. Like, good work. I'm glad you finally got something going, but yeah. Like, you could be doing better.
Yeah.
But I think I would, oh man. I think I would just say everything's worth it. Like, you're so sad, but everything, don't kill yourself. Like, everything's going to be worth it.
You're a good example of that full circle where like, you were an engineer. It wasn't making you happy. You changed. And I really honestly feel that all those things that you didn't end up committing to yourself fully all enhanced you popping off with the marketing and the social media. Like, if you weren't so smart, you would not have been able to cultivate this audience the way you did.
It's more helpful now than it ever has been.
Wow.
A lot of times people are like, oh, I'm sure that was very helpful at the beginning when you had to do a lot of things yourself. It's like, no, now it's way more helpful because we're talking about a million people. Like, I need to write code and think about these things on a scale because it's so many people. I can't like do the little things anymore. I have to have like a robot do it for me. So I used to be a software engineer for people. It's so fucking boring. Everyone just clicked off. You watch it, the numbers are like math. I thought this was a girls podcast. I thought
this was
about
more women
health.
Should be in math.
Yeah, women in STEM.
Not us, but other people.
Right, I quit, but you should.
Wait, what's your beef with horse girls though?
Oh,
like, what did they ever do to you?
I did go on a date. I went on a couple dates with one. And I very jokingly said to her, I was like, you know, come on, horse girls are, look, horse girls know. Horse girls are the first people to tell you like, you know, it's a little funny.
Yes.
They are a little funny.
It's like crazy cat ladies, but like horse girls.
Yes, yes.
And we're crazy cat ladies.
Yes, we are. But I was on a date with this, I went on a couple dates with this girl and I went back to her apartment. And I was like, so you're gonna get the riding crop? We like do that. And she was like, that's not funny. And I was like, it's actually hysterical. And so now I'm going to write a 5-minute joke about it.
Well, I was going to ask you, now that you're single, how has that affected your material? Because I have to work on, I've always been single, and now I'm fucking married. So I'm working, that's something I have to figure out within me.
I'm writing a lot from the place about why I'm single. Like, I'm getting very vulnerable about my mental health and like dating the wrong types of people and like how I was bringing bad things to relationships and like fixing my brain and, you know, my relationship with my mom.
Oh, yeah. Fuck yeah.
Yeah. So it's like I'm writing a lot about that. And it's funny because now I'm getting weird DMs from women because like this single Ashley, like I look like a fuckboy. I know how I look if you're watching this on YouTube. This is on YouTube, right?
Yeah, you look like a frat star.
Yeah, but I'm not. I'm like very much want to be baby. You know what I mean? I want someone to
be daddy.
Not to be not to be daddy.
Mommy?
Maybe a little mommy. Just a little. Because I do that for people. And I want someone to meet me where I'm at.
In the bedroom.
What
are we talking about right now?
You're like, what is lesbian sex?
I was like, and then the baby does.
I think like I have always been like the more like
assertive, organized person. Yeah. But then in the relationship, you like to not have to be in charge of everything.
I want someone who's done as much emotional work who can meet me where I am. That's what I want.
I think I'm similar. Yeah. Like I'm not a caretaker for the relationship.
I always have been.
Yeah.
So I'm looking for someone who can be my equal in that.
Yes.
And so why am I talking about this?
I love it. You were talking about how you're discovering more about who you are in a relationship.
Yeah.
And how you want to be baby.
Yeah. So I'm writing a lot about being baby.
Is that a lesbian thing? Or is this a you thing?
I think it's a me thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, but now I get these DMs from women being like, I will cuddle you and we don't have to do anything else. Like, cause that's like from one of my jokes.
Yeah.
Where I'm like, oh, I want the app where we match, we don't hook up, we just scratch each other's heads. Like, which app is that? You know? Like, what's that? I don't want Tinder, I want Tickler, you know?
The scissor app, SZR. I recently was talking to someone about, like, one of my lesbian friends about why there is no lesbian app. And they said,
there's one called Her and it doesn't work.
Why do you think it doesn't work?
More women in STEM, we can't code. Sorry, lesbians. I know you're writing code. I know you code.
We know the lesbians are. You keep doing you. But I think it's because the men are so like stereotypically chase the woman, message the woman. Where with girls, it's like, you message me.
Yeah.
No, you message
me. That's exactly what it is. That happens all the time. We call it useless lesbians. We just stare at each other from across the room for like 45 minutes and no one makes a move. And
that's your foreplay?
That's our foreplay. Just staring, just intense.
And climaxing is just not getting each other's number.
Yeah, exactly. But the thing is, I think, you know, if you have queer and bi listeners, and you definitely do.
Yeah.
That's why it can be so much easier to just kind of default to dating men. Because it's just so much, first of all, there's way more heterosexual spaces. And second of all, you just stand there and men approach you.
You're so right.
And with us, it's a much, you have to make an effort. You have to push yourself outside of this comfort zone that you've been socialized.
You have to listen.
Yeah, exactly. You have to listen.
You have to come up with questions. I also think that if someone does mesh with someone on a lesbian app, within 3 days, they start dating and they're off the apps. Like, that's not sustainable.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
For a long term.
Oh, trust
app.
Me, I know. I'm on the apps and it is not going well.
It's interesting.
I grab my water if that's okay.
Oh, yeah. I do think that girls, Gen Zs, you made that for yourself.
I did.
Gen Zs, I find more girls are very open to, like, instead of being like, I'm straight, they're kind of like, I don't know what I am. And then they decide later on if they're straight or gay, which is something that we in our generation
never
experienced. Or they
just, like, they're just way more younger people who identify as bi and pan and queer than ever before.
And I don't know if this is New York City because this is like the people
I'm around.
No, it's
actually, they did a Gallup poll. 20% of Gen Z identifies as queer in some way.
Wow.
And you can guarantee that there are some people who are choosing not to like say yes on that question.
I just know I have some friends whose daughters are teens and they're like, oh, they've all hooked up with girls. And like part of me is a little jealous in that like... I'm married now. And that was never like, I mean, I guess girls were like making out with girls at parties, but in a very
not
like
the same
male gaze performative thing where I just feel like really proud of these girls coming up who just have that freedom.
Me too. It's also great for me just on a dating level that everyone is bi now. The pandemic, the pandemic did wonders for that. There's no straight women left.
Well, lesbian TikTok is I've been on
lesbian. People love lesbian
TikTok. If you haven't been on lesbian TikTok, what are you doing? Where it's, I feel like where lesbians have found a place to express themselves so freely that I haven't been able to see. And then I feel like I'm like a like
fly on the wall.
Yeah, like a creepy voyeur. And I'm like, what are they doing? What's going on? Yeah. Just a lot of licking. But do you enjoy lesbian TikTok?
I don't scroll for my mental health. Like I don't.
Ooh, explain.
Like I have a super addictive personality. Mm-hmm. So I don't drink, I don't smoke, and I don't scroll on TikTok.
So what do you do instead?
Instead of scrolling?
Yeah.
I just post TikToks and I walk away.
I feel like I have an addictive personality. I don't drink, I don't smoke. I do scroll though. And something I'm struggling with, I realize it's because like I just love doing things that numb my brain.
Yeah, of course. Who doesn't?
And I never liked alcohol or drugs because that would scare me what my brain would do. Yeah. So like, but like the scrolling, watching TV, napping, I was like, wait, why do I love this stuff so much? And I actually had like an epiphany today and I'm like, oh, you need to start getting used to your brain just like functioning and like not being scared of your brain.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I've had this mental health podcast for 3 years and I'm suddenly like, oh, you're still fucking scared of your thoughts.
Yeah, yeah. Meditating's important for that.
You've been a big meditator?
Yeah, yeah.
What's your process?
Well, I started a long time ago. I meditate for 20 minutes every day, but when I started with 1 minute. And then I just try to do it every day.
In the morning?
Typically in the morning. If I have a super busy day, I'll do it at the end of the day. And I'll even do like a short one if it's like a crazy day.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah. And there are a lot of apps. I really like 10% Happier. Not a lot of people know that one. It's like, I think a more headspace. There's just only one teacher and like one approach. And 10% Happier, you have some teachers who are like very cynical. Like that, if you are a cynical person,
yeah,
they have teachers that are very much like, yeah, like you, this sounds so stupid. They're like, I totally understand how dumb this sounds, but it's actually good for you.
Yeah, because there was that whole trend of like spiritual warriors and like we're so fucking cool. And some people don't align with that.
What is a spiritual warrior? I have not heard
just,
this.
It's kind of just like these women who love being spiritual and they just like love it so much and spiritual gangsters. That's what they call themselves.
I don't like the straight side of the internet. Then,
no.
Whatever this is.
Stay off of it. Speaking of the straight side of the internet, straight girls always deal with like the whole daddy issues thing, daddy issues. Do you think lesbians, do you joke about mommy issues?
We do, yeah.
Ooh, I've never heard this before. Please explain.
Well, I think it's just like the same thing. You're just like trying to look for some sort of diagnosis as to why you are the way you are. And so we like latch on to like those identifiers. But I do think that queer people generally just have problems with their parents. You know what I mean? Like when you come out, you really challenge your family. So some people have accepting parents, but for the most part, like especially the millennials and up, like you probably had some pretty significant
trauma.
Parental. Yeah.
Yeah. And that's why I guess I'm excited for the Gen Zs who like, they probably do deal with parent drama as well, but at least they're normalizing it for the next generation.
Yeah, yeah.
Which I'm obsessed with. Because, yeah, with straight girls, they're always like, daddy issues, that's why you go for these kind of guys. But, I mean, you could have daddy issues as a lesbian and makes
course.
You go for certain girls.
Of course.
For sure.
And straight people have mommy issues. And men
sure.
have mommy issues, too, which I think is, like, a funny thing.
For sure.
You know when you're watching The Bachelor and, like, they're always, like, the girls are always like, I'm just looking for someone, like... like my dad. And the guys are like, I'm just looking for someone. Like, I want to hear a bachelor come onto the show and be like, I am looking for someone like my dad. That's all I want to hear. Because it sounds gay in this weird way.
Yeah.
To be like, I want a woman who is like my father. I just want to hear that.
My best friend in school was this lesbian who I like loved. And she had a 6'4 brother. And I basically was like, he's you, but like if you were a guy and 6'4.
Right.
And I love it. But it shows like just how people's souls are so intertwined. I think I've dated a lot of guys who I've met their mom and been like, oh, that's why you like me. So you've been doing, how have you been doing work with your mommy issues? What would you recommend for people to do if they
I'm in therapy for fucking ever.
Oh yeah, you've been in therapy since like 4 years old?
Yeah. Yeah.
At least she was like, we know what we're getting
into.
That
is the one thing that I, like, my mom did a good job. I don't even think she really understood that it was her fault. But I think
do you think she put you in therapy for?
Well, she straight up told me. She was like, we put you in therapy because you were angry. I was 4 years old. I came out of the womb and I was like, fucking sucks in there.
You're like, what the fuck is this? Tickle me, Elmo. What the fuck is this?
I was like, I had to, when my mom said that to me, I literally was like, okay, all right. Like, you gotta, yeah. Like, this is so.
So maybe the reason why you went to therapy wasn't right, but the overall.
Yes. She was trying to help. She didn't understand that it was her fucking fault. But she was trying to help.
Is she proud of you?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I have a lot of problems with my mom. But one thing, she is very supportive of my career. And she is really proud. She's proud no matter what, though. That's the other thing that's funny about a parent. You're like, yeah, well, you were proud of me when nothing was going well. You were proud of me when I was doing something total. You were proud when I was...
When I sneezed.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, it's good and bad.
But I also think there is a point where, like, mom and daughter, you start to really see them as a human. And you start to be like, would I be friends with this person?
No.
Like, how do you really feel about that? My problem is my mom and I are, like, stupid best friends. Like, it's annoying. We're like,
whenever if I ever hear this on very a date, on a, I always go like my, I like do that cat thing where like my hair, I'm like,
if I say I'm best friends with my mom.
Yeah. Because I'm like, what if,
like jealousy or red flag?
Red flag.
Yeah.
Not actually, because now that I've been in enough therapy and I've met, like, my ex-girlfriend had such a great relationship with her mother.
Yeah.
And I met her family and I was like, oh, I didn't know
that this could be how it's constructed.
So healthy.
Yeah. My mom and I, we can get a little dependent on each other. We're like, if she doesn't hear from me from 2 days, she thinks I died.
Yeah.
Cause like some days I'll call her like 6 times just cause I can, just cause I love talking to her.
That's so nice.
It's nice, but also I also like love her opinions on everything. We're like, I need to eventually do my own thing. But I do think that I married someone who is similar to like everyone in my family. Mm. Like, he has sides of my brother, my dad, my mom. It's very weird, but ultimately you want to find someone who feels like home. The question is like, what
in a good way or a bad way?
Exactly. What part of the home?
Right.
And what time of the home?
Right.
Kind of thing. But what are you looking for in a partner? You're now on The Bachelorette.
I would love, I actually, to the straights. I would like to nominate myself as first lesbian bachelorette. I think I'd be a really good one.
You'd be amazing.
I think it'd be great for girls who are experimenting. And what am I looking for? I want someone who has kind of two things. Done therapy, emotional work, in touch with their...
Chakras.
Yeah, their chakras. That's what I was going to say.
Aligned chakras, for sure.
Aura.
Yes, good energy. Good energy reading.
Something with sage.
Yeah.
Maybe some crystals. Mm-hmm. No, I mean actual.
Have been to therapy and have some self-awareness.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's very important, because I don't think I could date someone who can't have those conversations.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm super annoying too.
Yeah.
If someone in a relationship, I will definitely be like, have you talked about that in therapy? Are you noticing a pattern? Because I'm noticing a pattern. And people hate that. I will say it is my most toxic trait.
But I love it because it's straight up. Like, at least you're not passive aggressive.
No, I'm not. I'm aggressive.
I'm aggressive.
I'm aggressive, aggressive.
Capital A aggressive.
Active aggressive is what I am.
You start a note. You're like, I'm going to write that down in your notes. You could say that to Dr. Cindy next week.
If I will say, if you start taking notes in a relationship, it's over. I've been there. I've been taking notes in a relationship. You're done.
Oh my God.
The
I love
second
that.
The notepad comes out.
The second the notepad goes out, the second you start Googling, is it toxic if?
Yes.
The second you start Googling, am I with a narcissist? The second you start Googling, is it normal that I cry all the time? Dude, those are the scariest moments in life.
Is it time to break up? It should just say yes.
Signs you're not with the right person. That's when you know. Dude, whenever you start asking your friends, is it weird that, do you ever feel you're just like,
it's so funny,
you know.
Like, the first week I was like dating this girl, not even, like, I was a couple weeks in. You know, and I was like, I was asking my guy friends, I was like, how often do you guys have sex? And they like gave me an answer and I was like, there's a problem. There's a problem in this relationship. And I knew it like 4 weeks in. I dated that person for like 3 years. And not to get into that one, but yeah, someone who can meet me where I am emotionally, but also I really want someone who's very driven by their career. Because if you're dating me and your career is not as important to you as mine is to me, it's going to create a dynamic that might not be so healthy.
Yeah. I was scared that if I'm like super busy and then I'm with someone else who's super busy and driven in their career, then it could cause tension. But I realized like it doesn't. You figure it out, especially I'd rather be that than someone who doesn't have a passion for something who's just kind of waiting around for me. That is when drama happens.
Codependency or weird power dynamics. And I love creative people. I'd be lying if I said I wasn't drawn to creative people, but that's like a bonus.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It's interesting you brought up the how many times you have sex because someone, it's on TikTok where I learn most of my stuff.
Which is accurate.
It's like.
Don't talk to a therapist.
It's very legit.
Just see what the algorithm brings up for you. Then just take that diagnosis from the internet and apply it to yourself.
Yeah, just whatever swipe up pills they're telling you to do.
Yeah, do that.
Do it.
we get
sponsored
sued.
we immediately get sued. The amount of ADD medications these people have tried to offer me, I'm like, at this point.
I get a diagnosis in my inbox on Instagram every week.
On Instagram or TikTok?
Instagram, because like I'll be doing my podcast and I'll say like something and someone will be like, you're celiac. I'm like, I'm not fucking celiac.
Yeah, someone told me I had endometriosis the other day because I bloat. My friend Paige.
Ooh, I bloat quite a bit.
She said I abnormally bloat.
I abnormally bloat. I know this.
And I was like, maybe.
I'm a balloon.
Yes.
Yeah.
Do you think we have a problem?
Yeah, but I don't know what it is.
Should we take an ADD pill?
Do I think we have a problem? Look at where we are right now. I know we have a problem. We have a lot of problems.
We do. So with the sex thing, a very wise, probably 14-year-old on TikTok said, she was complaining that like, if you don't have sex with them all the time anymore, it's not right. And then someone said, actually, that's kind of false.
Yeah.
Basically like, you get this like high because it's like a dopamine drug in the beginning. And that if you continue that like high of anxiety, that's why like some toxic relationships you think are so good because you have that drug of like, will I get it? Will I not? Will I get it? Will I not? And they're like, if this sex stays like that, you're probably like anxious and it's not healthy.
Yeah for sure.
Where like if it slows down a little, it means like, oh, you have like a comfort with them. But if you're not having sex at all, that's an issue. But I think that's important that like you're not supposed to be fucking like rabbits forever.
Yes. And just so I know that that's usually what people think when I bring this up, just to say that was not what we were experiencing.
Yeah.
We were experiencing something different. We weren't. Frankly, she was in the closet.
Yeah.
And there was like almost no like new energy, like new relationship energy, like sexual.
She was battling her own stuff where she couldn't be fully available.
And there were things between us. I don't want to speak on her behalf, but in my opinion, it was very much like the closet was a big part of the issue. Mm-hmm. And I was like, what's going on? Like, this is very strange. And so I just started talking to my friends and I was like, this is weird.
Like, so were you like kept a secret?
Oh yeah. I was in the closet with this girl for like 2 years, 3 years, 3 years.
But you were out.
But I was out.
Yeah, that is, I mean, pretending to be single, a little sexy and like secretive at first. And then you're like, okay, we're lying.
I think that's true. Like if you're in high school, if you're like a 30-year-old woman and you're like thrust back in the closet, you're just like, no, this is traumatic.
Oh my God. Yeah.
It was awful.
Dude. And you can't like tell someone to come out.
No.
Or force them.
No. And you have no idea how long it's going to be. I do think there's a point where you as a gay person have every right to be like, hey, like, I can't be in this.
Yeah.
Like, and that there's nothing wrong with that.
Are you afraid of being with bi girls?
No, not at all. I'm almost exclusively date bisexual girls.
Ooh, what's the psyche behind that? Some of them are femme.
I think it's more common. Yeah, I'm typically more attracted to femme women. Not that there aren't femme lesbians. I've dated plenty of femme, or at least hooked up with femme lesbians.
Mm-hmm.
I think bisexuality, just like any, is more common than, mm-hmm. like, to be like, a straight up lesbian is like the rarest thing now. We're like this.
Are you Gold Star?
I am Gold Star. Yeah.
Wow. Wow. I'm Gold Star penis.
Congratulations.
Don't. It's not a good thing. It's not great. I reference you all the time. So you said the funniest thing ever to me once. And I don't remember where, but I tell this joke all the time that I said to you, Ashley, how do you know in lesbian sex when you're done? Because guys explode. They just come and then it's over. Like, when do you guys finish? And you go, you ask. And I go, what's it like to have consensual sex? I literally die.
It's so funny that you would think that's funny. I'm just like, yeah.
I was like, wait, you've asked during sex something? You've communicated your feelings during sex? That's crazy. But I have this whole new bit about how sex is not consistently as good as society makes it seem. And just like normalizing like how losing your virginity is fucking weird. How like sitting on a guy's face is awkward. I've gone way into it. And whenever there's a lesbian in the crowd, they always go, not if you're a lesbian. And then I always laugh with it, but it's so funny the different sexual experiences you guys have. And I've never done it, but I guess I have some jealousy because I'm like, you don't get worried about STDs. You don't get worried about pregnancies. That's just like the overarching thing. Then
pregnancy for sure. STDs, you don't have to be as careful, but you still have to be careful just for the
No, you're right. That was me spreading false information.
But you're not entirely wrong. It is harder to spread many of the
You're
STDs.
The lowest of yes, the in yes. some data that I don't know. But you this is a doctor podcast.
I heard on TikTok.
And then you can have as many orgasms as you want, but not every girl.
As many as you want, kids. It's an all-you-can-eat buffet pussy.
But some girls don't have as many orgasms as other girls. Yeah. I feel like guys.
I have like such a kink for girls who can come a bunch of times because I love doing that. So like, I think my record's 11. And one time, not for me. I don't know if I can do that. I think I've done like 6 or 7.
You're like, not that I'm counting, but it is 11 and a half.
There was half an orgasm.
Yeah. You're like, yeah, I almost got it. It's awesome because I feel like guys, once you kind of know, like, yeah, maybe some guys like slightly different things, but they're pretty simple in bed, I feel like. Where girls, it's so nuanced.
Yeah.
And that's why I appreciate.
Every time's different.
The art of being a lesbian.
It is an art.
It is an art form.
It's a craft.
I love your work.
Thank you. Yeah, I've been doing it a while.
Do you have any advice?
On the craft? I mean, what do you mean? Advice for what?
I don't know. Do you have any advice for lesbians? Or
I think there's probably a lot of people who've thought about it and like are intimidated by the idea of being with a woman. Because a lot of times I'll go on dates with women and they're bi or they're pan or they're queer or whatever. And they get worried when they're dating a lesbian because they think like, oh, I don't have as much experience. But it's exactly what you just said. Every body is different, very different. So every time you go into sex with a new partner, and I think straight women probably know this even better than queer women, you guys know you're going to have to train this man in what you want.
True.
So like if you're scared to have queer sex, like she knows that.
Yes.
She knows that she's going to have to teach you and you're going to have to teach her or them. And like that is just a part of the process and like don't be intimidated by it. And if you are the more experienced partner, it's a very kind thing to say to someone, like don't be nervous and it's not weird if neither one of us has an orgasm the first few times because it's like difficult to learn. Mm-hmm. Like every vulva is different.
And and as women, we know how hard it was for us to even understand ourselves.
Exactly.
So to understand another woman is a whole different, new, fun journey to explore.
I've been writing this joke about how I didn't orgasm until I was in college, till I was 18. I think that's...
Actually, I first did when I was 18 too. We're adorable. I took a class at Wisconsin called like sexual wellness and they literally explained scientifically like how a person orgasms. Then I was like, oh, so I guess like I can do that. I thought it was some like weird thing that like guys just did like with a sock in their bedroom all the time.
Yeah, I thought you were going to say a saw.
No, no, no.
They just had to be cutting lumber.
Yeah. But yeah, guys, it's in the media. Like, people talk about it all the time. Where women, we also don't talk about it to each other. My friends didn't talk about it. Or someone would be like, do you masturbate? And I'd be like, no. And that was like, good. Like, oh, good. You don't masturbate. Of course, I don't masturbate.
No one was talking to me about this. I think because they knew I was gay. That's like another thing is like, I never got to be in those conversations because I'm so like flagrantly gay.
Yeah.
That like girls didn't talk to me about these things because it felt like almost like talking to the opposite sex in that this is like a potential sexual partner. So
did you hang out with guys or girls in like high school?
Both. I hung out with both. All of my high school friends are queer.
Yes.
Like all
of them. So you found your people, but they probably weren't all out yet?
No, we weren't out in high school. Well, I was the gayest person on the fucking planet, but everyone knew I was gay. It was... I wish I could have come out, but I don't even think coming out for me... When I came out, it was very much like, yeah.
Wait, so when did you actually come out? You start coming out and everyone's like, yeah, we know. And they just continue talking.
I'm like, guys, this is like a monumental moment for me.
It's like, they're can like, you pass like, the salt?
Yeah, we get it. You wore a strap-on when
can
you were
you
five.
Can you pass the remote, please? No one cares. You wore a strap-on when you were five. Oh, my God. Also, I feel like people try to talk about, I'm talking from the stupid straight perspective, they try to talk about lesbians like tops and bottoms, like gay guys are tops and bottoms. But that's not.
To be fair, we talk about it like in this way that, there, yeah, exactly. It doesn't exist. Because not to get like philosophical and political, no, we but love like the language around tops and bottoms and sexual dominance is rooted in the patriarchy.
Yes.
Like the presence of a penis is top, like by definition of what we understand and like these masculine feminine energies to be. So when you really with men, with gay men, it makes a little more sense because there are buttholes. So it like makes it easier to talk about. But when you subtract the penis from the equation, the language just totally falls apart.
Yeah.
So we don't really even have language to facilitate conversations about sex that don't involve a penis, which is why it's so confusing to everybody because we literally don't even have the words. So top and bottom usually refers to
energy,
but also like I want to talk about it in terms of sports. It's like who's calling the plays? You know what I mean? Like that. There's like a playmaker.
I always just envision like so stupid. Like top and bottom meant like someone's lying on their back and the other one's on top, like doing stuff.
But it doesn't even.
But you could be like getting eaten out, being like, yeah, to the right, yeah, go in it, and you're calling the shots.
Yes, exactly.
And that's like top energy.
Yeah, yeah. So it doesn't totally make sense.
And it probably like goes back and forth sometimes.
Yes, of course. I would say most people, just like in straight relationships and gay male relationships, most people are very switchy.
Yes.
And that's like the most fun that you can like be all the different things that you want to be.
But what is cool is now going back to comedy. Comedy is such a straight man thing.
Yeah.
And I remember you kind of struggling with feeling like you even mentioned it today, feeling judged like, oh, everyone sees me as like the lesbian comic. But it's like no one would see you as that if it was if the majority of comics were like
yes,
lesbians.
Yes.
How has it been kind of finally really making a mark and an indent in this industry that is so dominated by straight people in general?
Everyone is going to look at me like I'm the lesbian comedian because A, that is who I am, but B, I was ignored by everybody for so long.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry. Thank you. My people would love that. Yeah, go off. Yeah. That I had to go to a place like TikTok to use the algorithm to get to my people. And it was lesbians and queer people and gay men too and non-binary people and trans folks. They were the people that were like, no, fuck everybody. You're hilarious. That elevated me and lifted me up. And now everyone all of a sudden is like, oh, wow, she's really good.
Oh, we should have her on our podcast. Oh,
no, but you had me before.
OG. Yes. I'm the real one.
Yes.
And that's why the internet is so awesome, because even think about,
it's
like,
so cool.
It's the coolest.
We love the internet.
We love the internet.
The internet's
think
cool.
About meme culture. people didn't know that it was women writing a lot of the memes. And then next thing you know, like, female humor blew the fuck up. Where there's meme pages called female humor that's like 8 million because people were just reading things being like, this is hilarious, not knowing that it was like a woman writing it.
It all goes back to teenage girls like controlling the internet. Like 14-year-old girls like, kind of decide like what's in and what's not in at the end of the day.
Yeah.
But I couldn't give a fuck if someone decides to call me like the lesbian comedian because like I am making money.
Yeah.
So like, why would I care? And also like the people are bringing this. This is the little secret. Straight men are actually the people who respond to my humor the most because I have a masculine energy. Yes. And I think when they watch me, they're like, oh, she is like
pussy
me
too.
Yeah. Like she understands how I understand women.
Yeah.
And I can play into this misogynistic voice in this satirical way. I'm obviously not a misogynist, but I can play
you can play off it.
And like men are like, oh my God, she understands this part of me that I know is a little problematic, but I don't mean it that way. But also I am a little bit
and
that
I
way.
And I love that because let's be clear, we hate straight men on this podcast. however, I love when we can bring it together.
Yeah.
Like even I like my jokes better when there's an audience with guys and girls because the tension is so much more fun.
Oh,
and then we're all having
so
fun.
Interesting.
Yeah, because if it's all girls, it's like you're just in a locker room talking shit. But it's like if there's a guy there, it's like, let's look at his reaction. Does he think it's awkward? Is he confused? And he feels like, ooh, I'm hearing things that are naughty. And the next thing you know, you're coming for him and the girls are laughing at that.
It's so funny because the men in my crowds, they're the people that laugh first. Mm-hmm. Like, they're the people who really get it. And, like, my queer audience is starting to understand it. They're bringing their male friends to the show. They're bringing their straight friends to the show. So I trust that organically, once I break out of this internet phase of my career, there will be other people at the shows, and people will stop calling me the lesbian comedian, and they'll just call me a comedian. And, you know, if they don't, fine. I still have
I love
paycheck.
That so much because we are bringing people together, and I want to apologize, Dave. We don't hate you, but everyone else we do. But it's great that as a lesbian comic, it doesn't mean you're just talking to lesbians. As, like, a straight female comic, it doesn't mean I'm just talking to other
straight.
And I really... It's because you're being authentic to yourself and you're not just being like corny, stereotypical. You're speaking from an individual experience.
And if any of my listeners are listening right now, and I hope that you are, like, Hannah's stuff is fucking hysterical.
Yeah,
like, the stuff that she does talking about straight men is, like, so funny. Like, there's no reason that we can't enjoy each other's perspectives and learn from them.
Oh, for sure. And it makes you more understanding of yourself when you can understand another individual going through whatever they're going through. We're going to do a speed round of the 7 deadly sins because you've done it before, but your life has changed a lot.
7 deadly sins.
What are you greedy about?
Oh, man, probably money.
Ooh.
Now that not like, I'm scared. I have like a scarcity mentality. So I'm like kind of hoarding at the moment.
I'm similar to you in a way. I want to know. Are you good at negotiating?
I don't know. Why would I know that? I'm not that successful.
Do you ask for more with shit?
Yeah, I do.
That's good.
I always try to ask for more and I try to spend as little as possible because I'm just so afraid all of this will be taken away from me that I'm trying to save up as much as I can.
That's what I'm like. However, I just got married and I think it was like and I wanted to pay for my own wedding because I was like, I've worked hard. My parents have done a lot for me. And now I just don't like
that's awesome.
It's also my own thing where I'm like, I don't want anyone to use anything against me. But like, since I'm 18, I've been financially independent.
Yeah.
Cause they've always, it's like a thank you. So anyway, I almost feel like it's like an exposure therapy that I just spent so much bullshit money on my wedding that I don't feel it anymore.
I'm doing it in a backyard. I saw your wedding and I was
also,
like,
also that's what I said. I said I wanted a garage wedding and then you start talking to people, you start getting a wedding TikTok, and next thing you know, you're like, we need disco balls.
I'm like an ice sculpture of myself.
We need an ice sculpture.
I need a 2-scale ice sculpture of myself.
I was like, I need dolphins, I need a human sacrifice, and then it'll be perfect.
Where'd you get the human sacrifice?
I don't know. I just feel like it had that kind of vibe. Like, no humans were sacrificed, but there was a vibe. It was like a tribal, like, I don't know. It was an event. You'd get it if you saw the aesthetic. Who are you envious of?
I don't have this as much anymore. I've worked on it, but still a little bit. The comedians who are just plucked up and early in their careers and are like chosen by industry as like, oh, you're like, we're a tastemaker and we see it in you. Cause I never had that. And I had to do everything myself.
Mm-hmm.
And so I am a little bit like, fuck off.
But that's why I kind of like the chip on your shoulder. Like, that's like when you are successful, it feels like that much more fun.
I also think it's bad because I'm constantly like, I'm still mad. And everyone's like, why are you mad? You're doing it.
Sounds like your mom was right. Oh, God. Okay. What are you gluttonous about? What do you overindulge in?
Overindulge.
Since you don't like to be addicted to things, what do you let yourself?
I definitely can fucking eat, dude.
Same.
I can.
What's your go-to?
Ice cream.
Oh, Dez is like that.
I can put it away.
Yeah.
Easy a pint of ice cream.
What's your go-to?
I like Ben and Jerry's.
What flavor?
Cherry Garcia.
Actually, underrated. Underrated flavor.
It's really good. I like sweet, Chunky Monkey too.
The sweet and the tart. Hell yeah. Well, speaking of anger, now I just envision like 4-year-old you just like punching walls like an angry white man after
but
a football
I wasn't
game.
Is the thing. I think I was just a standard issue 4-year-old.
Yeah, you had like one tantrum. When was the last time you experienced extreme wrath or anger?
Extreme. It's been a while. Oh, man. I was overworked in the fall. I was like having some weird stuff going on with my ex. And I was on a Carnival cruise.
Oh.
And I had been like kind
working?
Of.
Working?
Yeah. Of course. What the fuck, Hannah? No offense if you like Carnival cruise, but it is not for a gay woman from New York City. Are you kidding
Don't
me?
Don't they have gay cruises?
They do, but not on Carnival. On Carnival, everything's a straight cruise. They don't bill it that way, but it is. It's a Trump rally. So I'm off.
It's a Trump rally on the water.
Yeah. I lost my temper on with my ex-girlfriend because I was overworked. I was sleeping underneath the nightclub.
No.
I was awake for like 4 days.
Hell no.
I felt really bad about it. I still feel bad about it.
Well, now you're self-aware about it, which is nice. When was the last time you were lazy or a sloth, just slept in all day?
Yesterday. I took the day off.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
Are you good at giving yourself
I took
that
two
kind
meetings,
of
but I took the day off.
Yes.
No, I'm not good about it.
Yeah.
I hate feeling, I can't feel lazy. There's a voice in my brain that says, why aren't you working right now?
Yeah.
I don't know if you have that, but.
I definitely have that, except now I like love doing nothing because I feel so rebellious and naughty. So like once I finish all my work, I'm like, oh, I'm just going to lay here for 2 hours being fucking crazy.
I hope I get to that point soon where I can do that.
Yeah. But now I realize like it's not that exciting and I need to stop. I need to like level out a little bit. Like, cause I'll call myself lazy and it's like, oh, cause you watch TV for 3 hours at night after working all
like
day.
Like everybody else.
Exactly. When was the last time you let your ego get in the way of something?
Oh, probably today. Probably on this podcast.
You're like 7 minutes ago. Next question.
Literally all the time.
Do you try to control your ego?
Yes. I try to have like vent sessions with my friends, my manager, just to be like, do this fucking bullshit. And then I do whatever they
good
tell me to do.
I'm like that. I'll have a core group of people that I can be my actual self with. And then put my polite face on for the rest of the day.
Exactly.
When was the last time you lusted over someone? Ooh.
I mean, all the time. All the time.
Do you have a celebrity crush?
Not really. Not who would I say is a celebrity crush? Emma Watson.
Oh, wow.
I would love to go on a date with Emma Watson. If anyone can make that happen, that would be pretty cool.
Well, if you're just talking into the ether right now, that's called manifestation, everyone.
Yeah, I'm manifesting.
Emma Watson, she's like mysterious because she's not on social media.
She's not?
I don't think so.
She's a feminist. She's very smart.
Yes.
She's very like powerful. She does like a lot of philanthropic social activism work. I don't know if she would describe it that way, but that's how it seems to me.
Do you think she's bi?
Just give me 5 minutes. I can tell you.
Oh!
I don't mean that in like an obnoxious way. I mean that like an, I can talk to someone. I know what my odds are.
Oh, yeah.
That's... So you seem so straight to me.
And you hurt my feelings. Because I honestly feel like I'd be so much more...
I understand why people...
Because I'm supremely athletic.
Like, I get the...
And I have masculine energy.
Right, but that doesn't make you not straight, like straight or gay. It's like a different thing. Straight or gay is like a different thing.
Yeah.
Although I was totally wrong about Ashley Heseltine. Because like Ashley Heseltine, I thought super straight energy. And then I did her show and she started flirting with me a little bit.
Well, Ashley's having fun at this moment in her life. Ashley is... Did she actually flirt with you?
A little bit, but I didn't know if it was like for the stage or... For what?
You're like, are we dating?
I think I have it on tape, but she was like, you kind of look like this guy that
I've been dating.
And then she was like, she said she used to send pictures to him like, this is a hotter version of you or whatever. This is like the hot gay version of you.
So she's like low-key has a crush on you.
I don't know if she does, but I sensed like gay energy for the first time and I was like, oh, I had not picked up on this before.
So you have like legit gaydar, because I have good gaydar with guys where I can tell like... Not that every guy wants to fuck me, but I could tell if they're into women, kind of.
That's what it is.
Yeah.
There's like
with women, I cannot tell for shit. With women, I can't, because also I am kind of like, I like to make everyone laugh anyway, so like I can't tell what's going on.
Right.
But with men, I can easily tell. You know what? I can tell if they respect women or not. If they respect women, they're gay. They're no, they're straight. And all girls respect women, so then I can't tell.
Right.
Okay, that was a very generalization. But you can tell when they're like, oh, I want to bend that girl over versus like, I'm just enjoying this conversation. Oh God. Anyway, we're so sexual. We're just like aware and sexual wellness. Final question. Final question. I'm always like, what is a lesbian? No, actual final question. And I do have to say, I am the straight Labrador retriever of the lesbians in her podcast. Sorry.
Please come back.
Which I will be coming back to. What advice would you give to the little devils on how to cope with their hell? When you're going through it, what helps you survive?
There's this course called The Science of Well-Being from Yale.
Don't be spreading cults out here.
It's not a cult. It's from Yale. It's a psych class.
Okay.
It saved my life. Like, truly. Truly saved my life.
Repeat it again.
The Science of Well-Being. I didn't do the readings. I only did the lectures. It's like half an hour a week. And that's when I started... exercising, meditating, getting good sleep, practicing gratitude and kindness. I know this sounds like so fucking stupid, and it is, but it's also, it works.
When did you do it?
2019, started in 2019.
Wow, so it was when things started to shift for you.
Yeah, it totally changed my life. I was very depressed, suicidal ideation all the time, and now I'm the happiest I've been in my life. I evangelized this thing. Because wow. It's just like... We all talk about self-work like it's this ambiguous joke on the internet. But the reality is our society is designed in a way like that really fucks us up. Mm-hmm. And there are things that our brain does respond to. Exercise, meditation, socializing,
mm-hmm.
You know, like all these different things. You should just do them. Even when you don't want to do them, you should just do them.
Wow.
Saved my life. I highly recommend it.
Fuck yeah. This has been so funny, insightful, sexual. Where can people listen to you? Watch
you? It has been sexual. It's been so sexual.
It's been incredible. Now that everyone's wet, where can they follow you?
Right now I'm banned on it. Shadow banned on Instagram.
I think I am too.
Are you really?
Yeah, I did like an I hate men shirt. We did a men are trash tour or something and they banned me. Whatever. Continue.
So if you're going to look me up, you have to put in my exact handle, which is Ash Gavs. But you can also just go to ashleygavin.com and literally all my stuff is there. My tour dates, I'm going to San Francisco at the end of June. Will this be out?
Yes.
San Francisco at the end of June. Raleigh at the beginning of June.
Yes.
Virginia over the summer. The Midwest in August.
Okay.
So many. Philly, literally everywhere. The whole country.
Obsessed. So you
Omaha.
Have to see her live. Hell yeah. See your live listener podcast.
Oh, yeah. We're having gay sex.
Listen to my episode and I'll be on it again. And yeah, this is my bitch. I love you so much. Thank you for coming
today.
Thank
you for having me.
Bye.
You killed it.